This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
Now, what if I told you that the Magic had a player who scored 51 points, grabbed 14 rebounds, and dished out 9 assists, all while shooting 60% from the floor? You would say, oh, we've got ourselves a little MVP brewing over here. One of the league's best. A championship caliber player. That's what you would say to yourself. Those numbers were the combined stats of Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner from Sunday night. And maybe it's unfair to do that. We could take other stars around the league and compound their stats with the stats from their teammate, their top tier, whoever their number two is, the Robin to their Batman. But Paolo and Franz work together in a very specific way. When they're able to go off, and I mean both of them, when both have a strong performance and they play off of each other, it is the combined power of an NBA elite. The Magic are 17-4 when those two combine for 50 plus points. 17-4. They are an elite. Them as a combination is the elite star that you're looking for. So I hear this sort of discourse here and there about Paolo. The people that say that, yeah, he's good, but he's not the kind of star that can push you into the championship realm. And I don't think we know the answer to that quite yet. He looks like he could be that guy. He's not that guy yet. Franz Wagner, I don't think anybody has him in that category. You would put Franz in the strong number three on a championship team, that sort of glue guy, more than a role player, less than an all-star, kind of floats in that space. Domantas Sabonis with the Sacramento Kings type of guy. But if you look at the way that they perform off of each other and that they play the same position, they are power forwards that in unison, when they're at their best, make this team virtually unbeatable. And that's not an opinion. That's the record. And we don't see it all the time, but when you do see it, it's really something magical, and it's something that not a lot of teams possess. Usually when you see a team succeed, it's because they have a guy that is just otherworldly. Steph Curry or Jalen Brunson and what he does. Luka Doncic. Now, Kyrie Irving has his role, but that's Luka's team. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the numbers that he puts up. Nikola Jokic, he has a supporting cast, but he's the guy. The case that I'm trying to make, and I'm trying to find a way, Tyler, to still word this perfectly, is that the star player for the Magic, we might just be looking at this wrong because we're so singular star focused in the NBA. The star of the Magic is the co-star of Paolo and Franz. If this is a movie, they are Ocean's 11. You can't put Brad Pitt over George Clooney or George Clooney over Brad Pitt. They kind of just need each other, and that movie can be a blockbuster because of the presence of those two players working in unison. Is this all make sense, or is this gobbledygook?
You're on to something. It certainly does make sense. I'm having a difficult time saying, yeah, you know, that gets the Magic. And I'm not saying that this is what you're suggesting, that that gets the Magic to the star. Like, they don't need the star. They don't need the clear-cut number one and the supporting cast around.
Yes. Thank you. Because this is why it's important to have a dialogue.
Right.
Because I said a lot of words there and didn't make the point that what I am saying is that if my assessment is accurate, then they don't need the other star that people seem to be waiting for, not this year, but I'm talking about in future years. Are they good enough? If those two are your two best players, can the Magic win a championship? And I'm starting to get the impression or form the idea that the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, I'm going to have a tough time agreeing with you there, BK. But I think it's an interesting angle because here's the thing. Right now, I mean, sure, we don't have to pair these stars together, Jokic and Murray's. But if we did, the Embiids, although he's hurt, the Embiid and Maxey's, the Tatum and Browns, we don't have to combine those. But if we did, those average points per games are coming out anywhere from 50 to 60, depending on which of those duos that we are. Right now, Paolo and Franz are giving you, I think, 23 and 20. So that's 43 combined points on the night. You mentioned the numbers, what, 17 and 4 when they combined for at least 50? Was that correct?
Yeah.
So that's 21 games of the 60 that those two have played together this season because Franz missed that stretch. So once every three games, they're going to give you 50 points. That's not necessary, and they don't need to go off for 50 in order to win, but it shows that that gives the Magic their best shot to succeed. They're going to win a lot more than they lose when those twos go for 50. You have teams around the league who average 50. When Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they have bad nights, they're still putting up close to 50. And that's not the case for the Magic just quite yet.
My point is that the numbers themselves tell a very specific story with Paolo and Franz. When they score 50 combined, they typically don't lose. These mm-hmm. aren't empty numbers. There are a lot of stars around the league that can score these bloated number. They can put up these bloated numbers and it not translate to wins. What we are seeing is that when those two in unison score, which you're right, only happens about once every three games, when that happens, they win. What if they ramp that up? They're not a championship caliber team right now. They're a playoff team. In the future, what if one out of three became two out of three? Now, all of a sudden, they're one of the best teams in the NBA. Now, I have a quick rant that I need to get off my chest because I heard our morning show host, and I had a feeling he was going to do this. I had a feeling he was going to try and tear me down this morning on his show. And he thinks that I'm not going to rebuttal. Oh, Mike, you are sorely mistaken. Mike texted me yesterday while you and I were going on and on about our In the Zone bracketology, and he hit me with one of my quotes. He said, quote, "I trust Tom Izzo - Brandon Kravitz," and then went on to tell me that this is the worst week of sports talk radio because you've got sports talk radio hosts pretending like they know what they are talking about. Us, Colin Cowherd, and said that this is just an awful time of sports talk. Now, I did say that. That was my analysis of Michigan State because that's what I know about Michigan State. So that wasn't me lying to the audience or even to myself. The reason why I took Michigan State is because I trust Tom Izzo and the success that he's had at Michigan State. I didn't go further into the breakdown because that's about as far as I go. I put in 4 hours of hardcore research on Monday to prep myself as much as I could for a sport that I don't watch a ton of throughout the regular season. And that's the information that I spit out to all of you. So I am not lying. I also happen to have in my back pocket a co-host who does watch as much college basketball as anybody you know. So anything that's coming out of his mouth is not a lie. So leave us out of the discussion, Mr. Bianchi. We are not pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. And let me say this one more thing, because then he brought this one back. As I'm dropping my kid off at school, I hear him and Mark Daniels. Oh, they're having fun talking about us. All his bracket guys, all these people that pretend like they know what they're talking about, and then they give out their bracket on the air, and no one cares. Even if there is a tinge of obnoxiousness of sharing your bracket like anyone gives a damn, the only thing more obnoxious than sharing your bracket is being the guy that sucks the joy out of the bracket season that we are in March. That's my rebuttal to you. So you can have your fun. poking fun at other people who actually enjoy talking about sports on Sports Talk Radio, but we're going to continue to do it.
Did Bianchi have a reasoning as to why he had an issue with you saying that you trust Tom Izzo?
Because he knows that I don't consume a lot of college basketball, so he thinks I'm just out here making stuff up.
Well, there's much worse things that you can make up than believing, putting your trust in the guy who is the most winningest Big Ten coach in college basketball history. Putting your trust in a coach who, let's see, of their most recent tournament appearances, the Sweet 16 last year, made it to the second round the year before, bouncing the first four the year before that, a Final Four appearance, making it to the second round numerous times, another Final Four appearance. That's what Michigan State has done in their most recent March Madness appearances. So to say that you have your trust in a head coach who has won more than anybody in this conference in league history, and that has been his results in the tournament of winning at least one game more times than not, kudos to you, BK.
Thank you.
You blindly picked the proper legendary coach. Sorry, Bianchi.
No apologies needed. I love Mike, but that stuff bothers the hell out of me, and I'll probably end up talking with him on the air about it, so don't worry. This isn't an awkward tension situation, but I cannot stand that. I don't know if he's doing it as an on-air bit or if it genuinely bothers him, but as much as it would annoy someone like Mike or Mark that you've got people talking about college basketball this time of year, it bothers me infinitely more that anybody who gets into this business wouldn't have fun with this time of year. This is the best.
Let's get back to the legislature of the NCAA,
Why would you not want to lean into something like this? The next 2 days are as much fun as you can have as a sports fan. And, yeah, I mean, come on.
It's a great time for politics, isn't it?
Let's do that. Yeah, no, that's better. Hey, what about Biden running against Trump? That'll work.
Check.
Kiss my... Anyway, moving on.
Content creation can be a difficult thing to tackle, especially if you're on your own, you've got a business to worry about, and you need a helping hand. That's what AuthenticAudioPro.com is all about. You can reach out to me directly on social media at Brandon Kravitz across all platforms. I'm happy to help. Everything from commercial production to live endorsements on this very show. I'll even help you launch your own high-quality podcast that you can be proud of. Customizable packages are available to fit your business's needs. I'm ready to work with you to tell your story and to make you sound great in the process. Learn more at AuthenticAudioPro.com.
You just mentioned baseball secretly starting in South Korea. We played a rant from, who was it earlier? Who was that from? Chris Mad Dog Russo. Yeah, he was just ranting about starting the season in South Korea at 3 a.m. L.A. time, 6 a.m. Eastern time. I really don't understand why they do this, Kate Crafts. Why do they do, and I realize you want the globalization of the sport, but why can't you just have the Dodgers play a spring training game in South Korea? They'd be excited about that, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get too worked up about it because I don't personally recognize it as the start of baseball season. I refuse. March 28th, that's opening day. When I have games that start at 1 o'clock and last through the rest of the day, and you've got the freshly cut grass in America, and every team is suiting up, that to me, when the opening day emblem is on the field, that's opening day for me. This is a marketing ploy. I'm sure is an effective one, especially when you deal with the Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani, and I'm positive that overseas this was massively successful, but doesn't register for me. I don't think it's a good marketing move for here. It doesn't speak well to the sport that wants to grow in popularity and yet starts in secret. But I also don't consider this the start of the season. So even though technically it started, I mean, it really, for our purposes, it hasn't. So that's, I guess, unless you're a Dodgers fan or a Padres fan and you stay, when was this game on? Like 2 a.m. and you stay locked in for that. I think everybody else is sort of the belief that where I'm at, where you can go, you can start the season whenever you want, wherever you want, but opening day is opening day.
Yeah, I still don't know why you would. I agree, opening day is opening day, but I still don't know why you would, you know, essentially you're starting your baseball season at a time when nobody's going to be watching and at a time of year, like right as the NCAA basketball tournament is starting, one of the biggest sporting events in the country, when the, you know, the pairings are coming out and everybody's talking about that. And oh, by the way, baseball season started as well. That's
right. But I mean, it's not like baseball. This is the beginning of us seeing a baseball being played. Spring training's been going on for the last month plus. And it's just not for us, you know. I would usually take this opportunity to rip into baseball for how much they don't get it and they don't know how to market their sport, market their stars, and to try and gain new fans. They bought so much equity with me with the way they handled last season, the changes that they made, the stars that are in the game. I'm certainly not somebody that has been blind to the issues that Major League Baseball has had. I grew up like you, Mike. My first love in sports was baseball. And I played baseball growing up. That was my sport. I was an Oriole fan before I cheered for anything, bet on anything, or had a fantasy team. It was baseball, baseball, baseball. So that sport is near and dear to my heart. And I've definitely gone through waves of my life where I have not given a damn. And I don't blame myself. I blame the marketing of the sport and not adjusting to the times. Last year, they did such a good job, as silly as it sounds, changing the size of the bases actually made a difference in terms of activity that you saw on the field. The pitch clock was incredible. Just the way that they were able to prop up their top guys. I think they've done a remarkable job. So whatever, this is a bad move, but they've had so many wins over the last year that I'm going to let them slide.
Okay, NCAA tournament starts in earnest today. Yeah, I'm sure your bracket has been filled out and all of that. I don't want to know what your bracket says.
Hold on. Do you hear this, Mike?
No.
That's a bracket. That's a paper bracket.
Okay. All right. I do want to know this, though, because you are a big fantasy football guy, as am I. What's more annoying? We haven't done a poll question on this yet, but we will maybe tomorrow. Who's more annoying? The fantasy football guy that just wants to talk about his fantasy football team and tell you about his fantasy football team, or the bracket guy wants to tell you about his bracket? Who's more annoying?
Can I go off the board?
Yeah.
I'm going to go off. I'll answer your question first, and then I'm going to go off the board on you.
Okay.
I think the more annoying guy would be fantasy football guy, because he lasts all year. But the off-the-board answer is people like yourself that choose to take this joyous, fun time of the year and instead of leaning into the joyous occasion that is March Madness, you decide to suck all the fun out of it with these silly rants about people who just want to enjoy casually filling out a bracket and pretending like they know what they're talking about for a couple of weeks. Let people have their fun. This is a silly business. This is a silly format with silly Kravitz. Shows and brackets Kravitz. Are silly. Let people have fun.
Kravitz, I want to hear your analysis on Michigan State again that you gave the other day on the air.
Tom Izzo. What else do you need to know?
Yeah.
There's no other active coach in college basketball that has been to more Sweet 16s than this guy. He's the winningest coach in the game today, now that Coach K has removed himself. I trust him. When he is in the tournament, you know he's going to make some noise. So sorry for your luck, Mississippi State, but you've met your maker. What else do you need to know? Why do I need what? I need to know the starting five in order to break this down. Tom Izzo wins in March. The end. There's 68 teams. I can't give you a full breakdown of all of them. Forget about it.
I cracked up when I heard that the other day, and I'm cracking up even more now. I trust Tom Izzo.
I'm not trusting him like to babysit my kid. I'm trusting him to make it out of the first round. And then, Mike, then they really start to hit their stride. Because once you get a Tom Izzo team that starts to gain some confidence, watch out, UNC, a vulnerable one seed. What else do you want to know?
All right. By the way, bracket guy's more annoying because fantasy football guy at least knows about football. He follows
I'm yelling. You make me yell at my radio, Mike. You make
fantasy football guy follows the sport.
I have a 3-hour block where I can do this too, but you make me yell at my radio in the morning.
Bracket guy does not follow.
Mike, I have been in. I know the people you play fantasy football with, and I know people out there that play fantasy that have no idea what they're talking about. They might like football more than they like college basketball, or more than bracket guy likes college basketball. There are so many people that play fantasy football that have no clue what they are talking about, and we have played in leagues with these people. So I don't want to hear that fantasy guy has it all figured out. No, that is not true at all. Nothing has been further from the truth.
How much betting will you do during the NCAA tournament? Because I'm reading a story that says there will be $2.72 billion legally bet during the NCAA tournament, which is twice as much money than is bet at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I'm good for about 2% of that. I have already placed 9 wagers for today. So that's where we're at.
So do you just mainly bet the spreads? Is that what you do?
Yeah, I'm not a big money line bettor, which is, for those who are blissfully unaware, is when you take just the team to win straight up, underdog or favorite, and you get a lot of money back if you bet a big underdog. And this is one event where I usually like a straight bet. I want to take a side. I want to either give points or take points. And I like to win when I bet. I'm not concerned so much with the overall amount. I just want to double my money is kind of what I'm going for. So that's my style. I don't get into this parlay business all that much. Every once in a while, sprinkle. But for March Madness, you can have a little bit of fun with it because you know underdogs are going to win, and big underdogs win. So don't go crazy. I certainly don't. I don't advise that anybody do that. But you know big underdogs are going to win in the first round and second round of this tournament. So I like to identify one or two that I could put some trust in and throw a couple of bucks on them to win straight up, because nothing quite like when Furman wins on the money line. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yes.
Okay, so you obviously are one who chooses to partake of legalized sports betting, and there are a lot of people like you. I don't really bet much. I have placed a couple of bets. I remember when Hard Rock Bet first started, before they shut it down, I placed a couple of bets then just to see how it worked. I haven't placed a bet since Hard Rock Bet has come back. But a lot of people choose to bet. I want to get, as somebody who bets frequently, I want to get your opinion. There seems to be a lot of pushback now on sports betting. There's some legislation. I think it's from a senator in New York who's trying to push legislation that, hey, essentially trying to...
they're trying to limit the language in advertising, is what it
sounds
like. Yeah,
muzzle the advertising and language, almost shut down the advertising.
Or strongly censor them. And I heard you say that you disagree with that, with the idea of that, right?
I do. Would I be right in saying that? Yeah, because, you know, there are a lot of quote unquote vices that glamorize them. Like the beer commercials, always bring those up. Hey, man, look how much fun it is to go out and get sloshed on beer. I mean, okay, that's what you do in advertising. You try to make your product appealing to, so people will want to use it. So I mean, how do you decipher whether, okay, let's muzzle sports betting advertising, but the beer companies can do what they want?
Well, I don't think beer companies, I don't know what the rules are, but I don't think beer companies can do what they want. So I think that my response to this might surprise you. I actually completely agree with what they're trying to push through legislation here. As a sports bettor, let me be very clear, as a responsible sports bettor, I'm not comfortable with some of the verbiage that is used when promoting sports betting. And I have seen it from the beginning of this becoming as mainstream as it is. I'm like, this is not being promoted properly, because the way that these companies, FanDuel, DraftKings, Hard Rock doesn't promote as much because they don't have any competition in the state. They run some ads here just saying that they're active. But especially in states that have competition, you're seeing these companies go out and say, hey, you know, you could slam together these 8 picks in a same game parlay and win 50 times your money in one night. It made me, I'll be completely honest. You and I have done Underdog ads. Underdog is basically a prop betting sports site. And part of the ad read was win 100 times your money in one single night. And I would read it because they paid well. And I'll read it again if they pay again. I'll be completely honest with you guys. That's not the way you should bet. And it's a very slippery slope. And when these sports betting companies go out and say, hey, you know you can win 100 times your money in one night. You know what the odds of that are? Less than 1%. You're comparing it to the alcohol industry. To me, this would be the equivalent of Jack Daniels putting up a commercial that said, you could take about 10 shots. You'll probably have the best night of your life, which, by the way, might be true. But a lot of people could get themselves in serious trouble if that's the way they drink. And these sports betting companies are promoting sports betting like, hey, you could go crazy and become rich. I don't know. It's possible. And I don't think that that's it. It does not create healthy behavior for sports bettors. That it can be addictive, but these companies shouldn't push you in the addictive direction. It's not. Okay, I don't think it's right.
If you're a responsible sports bettor, just like if you're a responsible drinker or a responsible anything, I mean, who doesn't know that, okay, to hit whatever that bet you were just saying, that you could win 100 times your money or whatever it is, most people know that that's a long shot bet, right?
Yeah, but there are a lot of people that have either never placed a sports bet before. They're very new to this. I heard you talking earlier that a big problem is also the teenage demographic. Teenagers watch the NBA.
Well, I don't think you should target this teenagers.
Or people that are at whatever. I don't even know what the legal age is for sports betting. Is it 21? But they're definitely marketing towards young kids as well. I don't agree with it, because I think that sports betting can be, it's a fun, challenging hobby where you can, if you do it properly and you're decent at it, you can make a small profit. And these sports betting companies have no interest whatsoever in you making a profit. And they market their business that way. And that's the part that makes me as a sports bettor feel icky, because I think what I do is not unsavory and doesn't make me feel guilty. Yet the way they promote these products makes me feel disgusting sometimes. And I know that all they're doing is setting up their users to lose money. And I don't think that it's fair. And I think one of the reasons why it bothers me is that I don't want to see this go away, because I love doing it. It's a personal, I don't know. It's just one of those, I can't even really word it. It's just like one of those things that I love to do and I love to take part in. I don't want it to be illegal, but as they continue to promote it the way that they are, people are going to get themselves in so much trouble by thinking that they can double their paycheck or whatever. And I just don't think it's done properly. So I don't want to see it go anywhere. So I would like to see the,
Personal responsibility? What about...
Absolutely. No, I mean, yes, ultimately it comes down to that. That's why I think sports betting should be legal and sports betting should be advertised. because of personal responsibility. This isn't about sports betting going away. This isn't about sports betting advertisement going away. I don't think either of those things should go away, and it would hurt me to the core if it did. I'm saying what I agree with in the in what's trying to be pushed through the lawmakers here is changing the verbiage, because the no sweat bet, Mike, if you've ever placed a real sports bet, there's no such thing. You're sweating it. You're supposed to. It's your money. You might lose it. You should sweat that. Saying that it's a no-sweat bet. And then these bonuses that you get, if you sign up with a bonus code on Hard Rock, FanDuel, DraftKings, and you win, you know what happens? You can't get your money out because it's bonus money. So that is part of the problem. They suck you in with these no-sweat bets and bonus bets, and then you can't get out. And the way that they promote their product creates addictive tendencies. And I think that it should be promoted. It should be promoted responsibly, not just in a small, tiny little print at the bottom of the screen. There's a way to do this right, and it's not being done right now.
Wow. What about that? Like me, who doesn't sports bet, I'm like, hey, let them advertise. Hey, if they want to make their product appealing to as many people as possible, let them go ahead. And you, the sports bettor, says no, they need to clean this up. That I'm shocked that we've taken opposite sides on this.
Because I've been betting sports for over 10 years now, and just recently in the last couple of years I've been able to talk about it, because it's like been this seedy underworld thing. And I don't view it that way personally. I hate the stigma that comes with sports betting. Like, you're just, we have fun talking about, like, oh, you know, we're degenerates, whatever.
Right.
That's just silly talk. I don't like the stigma that comes with it, that, oh my God, if you bet on sports, you are just a lawless individual. I think there's a way to do this, have fun with it, but also do it responsibly and challenge yourself in the process. If you know sports and you think that you're good in the predictive nature of it, then there's a way to do this in a healthy way that can actually be beneficial to you, your wallet, and your psyche. That is not the way that it's promoted. It's promoted like, hey, wouldn't it be fun if you had $1 million? And I don't like it. It's silliness.